Well, good morning. If I believed in the theology of getting jewels in your crown in heaven, you get them. You're here on Daylight Savings Day of the Sunday before spring break. Congratulations. We are continuing our sermon series today about high expectations and high grace. This is something that is hard to live into as a Christian, and yet we're called to be better each and every day. We're going to use a word today called cruciform. I'm not sure if you've used that in your vernacular before, but we're going to learn what that actually means and how we can truly take up thy cross. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, in the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calmness of this room, in the longing of our minds, in the urging of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. As we say these Christian things, we're journeying towards the cross in this season of Lent. Today, I want you to really think about what that can and should mean to each and every one of us. We're going to start in the scripture of Luke and hear from Jesus about what we are called to do as Christians. And then we're going to go to Philippians and learn how to do it. Okay, so let's start in Luke. Luke 9:23 through 25. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their lives will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What is good for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" You see, this response is not about how other people see Jesus. This response is how we choose to live out the life that we are called to live as Christians. Take up thy cross. I wear a cross on my finger. It's from a ring I got when I was confirmed in the church. I think I was 12, 13, something like that. The fact that it still fits me is glorious and a miracle in itself. If you see me dressed for traditional worship, you will see I wear a cross with my robe each week. And that cross is a cross that was my grandfather's cross. And it was given to me when I graduated seminary. There's a whole story there about how my grandfather only knew me as a teenage girl. And that was an interesting side of Kim Myers. And so I think that in heaven, he's still scratching his head and laughing that I might be proclaiming the gospel today. But both of those crosses, I never think about picking them up and carrying them with me as a burden. They bring me hope. They bring me joy. They bring me compassion and peace. Yet when Jesus said to his disciples, "Take up thy cross," the cross was not a symbol of hope, of joy, or of peace. In that time, taking up thy cross meant you were taking an item of torture so that you would die a horrific death upon it. Why in the world would Jesus say, "Take up thy cross"? Oh, wait. Philippians 2. This is what we learn and how we are directed, guided, told how to do this. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation from the Spirit, any affliction and sympathy, any, not just some, any, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Adopt the heart and the mind of Christ Jesus. That feels too big and too much for me. Yet I have a secret that isn't a secret. Each and every one of you are created perfectly in the image of God. You see, aspiring to be like Jesus, adopting the heart and the mind, means taking it, choosing to take it and let it become a part of you. I could not do my life without carrying my cross. You see, sometimes we think that when we pick this cross up, whew, it's all unicorns and butterflies. You see, I love living a life of unicorns and butterflies. Dan and I will be married 24 years this summer, together almost 30, and I describe our relationship with my head, it's way up in the clouds, and his feet are firmly planted on the ground, and we hold hands. We kind of guide each other to where we might need to be, because guess what? As much as I want it to be that way, life is not always simple. It's not always easy. There's pain, there's illness, there's fear, and that can be crippling. Yet in my life, it's not. I'm not saying I don't have bad days. I do. But I also have the cross with me in each and every one of those moments. You see, the cross is a symbol that was pain and death and torture, and Christ did what Christ does, and he changed it, and he made it both and a symbol of love and hope and peace. I got the privilege to officiate a service for a dear friend. Her mom passed away this week. I don't know how I would do things like that without letting go of my pride, letting go of my fear, and grasping onto the hope that is Christ beat death. Death is not the end. So that on days where we have memorial services to remember and lean into a life well lived. This was a mother that, I mean, and a grandmother. Pixar movie couldn't have crafted a better grandmother of this woman. And so during her service, there were tears. Because we lost somebody that we loved, yet there was also laughter and joy because this family loves well and has faith that is solid. So when I say, take up thy cross, I mean it. Because I don't believe that you can do life well without it. You need it, as the gospel said, every day. On your good days, on your bad days, on a boring Tuesday, you need that cross, the reminder of both death and pain and hope and joy, high expectations, high grace. You see, I used to think that the burden of carrying that cross, it would be too heavy and too much, and I would just pick it up as needed. Yet I realize when I let go of the things that I need to let go of, pride, envy, greed, and I humble my own self, this cross that looks like a burden becomes everything. It helps transform who I am and who I'm called to be. It makes me pliable. It lets me see hope when there's darkness. It makes my joy even greater. This cross. What does the cross actually mean to you? The word cruciform is a word that means in the shape of a cross. Simply, that's it. But do we actually think about what it means in your life? And this week, I had to frame and think about what it means if it wasn't in my life. I've had the joy and the privilege of growing up in a loving Christian home. I never have known life without God. Yet there have been times where I like to put God like on a shelf, pull God out as needed. Jimmy Decker sent me a meme because he likes to keep me humble. And it was a meme about Jesus take the wheel. So it was showing a woman in the passenger seat, staring at the driver, Jesus, and she kept like bargaining. Like, listen, Jesus, I said take the wheel, but usually people turn right here. Jesus, I said take the wheel, but I mean the speed limit's 70. Let's go. Oh, we're going your speed. Okay. Jesus, take the wheel, but I really thought this would be more 50-50. The hardest thing I do each and every day is lean into my faith. Because in doing that, see, I like control, and control is my hands and my fist really tight, holding on to any aspect of control, color-coding calendars, you name it, I do it. Faith is letting go of that, so that I can choose to pick up thy cross. Make my joy complete. Adopting the heart and the mind of Christ Jesus. Choosing to make that a part of all that I am and all that I do. For when I do that, I see your cross. I see your goodness. I see that you are also created perfectly in the image of God. What do you have to let go of?
to pick up your cross.
It's going to change throughout your life. It might change throughout the week, but continue to ask yourself this question: what must I release so that I can be consumed by the grace and the love and the power of the Holy Spirit? As we walk closer and closer towards Easter, we experience Holy Week, where we have dinner and we break bread with Jesus, where he looked at Judas, who was also at the table, and said, "Take and eat, this is my body broken for you." Sometimes as Christians, it's easy to love Jesus, but then there's Judas. And then we go to Holy Friday, Good Friday, which makes me know and reminds me that my God knows my pain and my suffering, for he's experienced greater suffering than I hope I ever will. And he conquered it. He conquered death for us, us broken people who don't even really trust Jesus when we ask him to take the wheel. Yet reminded each and every day that we get that choice. We get that burden that becomes light, that symbol of death that becomes hope. We lean into our faith so that we can be who we're called to be. Because I know this. I know this. When each and every single one of us take that cross out into the world, it is transformed. Think about it. If you truly let go of your pride, let go of your fear, let go of your anger, let go of your shame, and pick that cross up, the situation may not change, but your perspective sure has. And that transforms every single space that you are a part of. We're all just kind of one dial in to who we're called to be. And it really is that simple and that difficult. High expectations, high grace, pain and joy. That is life. When I used to teach parenting classes, I would usually start a class by, "I'm teaching on blah, blah, blah book. And I need you to know that this book is black and white. The letters are black and white. Life is colorful and messy. So take this knowledge and transform it into your life." You see, Scripture's different. It's not just a book, it's an anthology. It's the only book I've ever read my entire life. It has poetry, it has history, it has war, it has letters. It is the breathing, living Word of God. And it was written for me and you to know how to live our lives, to have that cruciform life. Each and every day. So as you go about this week, I'm going to call it a spring day. Hopefully when we go outside, it will be. Let go of what you need to, so you don't just wear a cross as jewelry, so that it transforms who you are and who you are called to be. Because I'll tell you what, without it, I would not be kind or good. I would be empty, trying to fill myself up with the goodness. Yet instead, I choose to be empty so that God can fill me up to send me out to do what we are called
to do. Isn't that exciting? That we can transform each and every space we come into, not by proclaiming the gospel, but by being the gospel. That gives me hope. That gives me joy. That gives me peace. I hope it does the same for you. I hope that you're able to let go of what you need to let go of so you can choose to pick this cross up so it can transform how you see the world. As perfectly created in the image of God. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, some days picking up the cross seems so heavy, seems too much. Yet, letting go of ourselves so that we can be fulfilled as a greater part of your story, so we can fulfill your word and your mission, gives us light, it gives us energy, and it gives us hope to keep doing what each of us are called to do. And simply that is to see that you conquered death on a cross for us so that we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen.